O Lord our God, now as we hear your word, fill us with your spirit. Soften our hearts that we may delight in your presence. Sharpen our minds that we may discern your truth. Shape our wills that we may desire your ways. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. This is the word of the Lord that we read in a moment. Matthew chapter 1. An account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashan, and Nashan the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Salatiel, and Salatiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Matan, and Matan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On my side of my family, there is a unique listing of seven women. The last person on that list is my daughter, Rachel. She is preceded by me, and then by my mother, Ruth, and her mother, Anna, and her mother, Martha, and her mother, Anna, and her mother, Martha. Now, just hearing those names is probably not very interesting to you, but you might become a little bit more intrigued if I tell you some more details. For example, of those seven women, I personally know five of them. My daughter, myself, of course, my mom, my grandma, my great-grandma. I also have photographs of each of these seven women, taken on the occasion of their 18th birthday. And that collection of pictures gets handed down to the next female of the next generation, who will then add her own 18th birthday picture. On my husband David's side of our family, we have a 15 or 20 page document that includes every single person in the clan going all the way back to 1807. More names. We know some of the people, grandparents, uncles, and aunts, as well as some of their stories. But most of them remain unknown to us. And then there's this list of names in Matthew chapter 1. We can barely pronounce some of these names, let alone know any of them personally. Sure, we know some of their stories, but the most recently named person on this list lived more than 2,000 years ago. It's not very easy to have a good connection with them. That takes a little bit more effort. And some of that effort involves taking note of some of the unique parts of this particular list in Matthew chapter 1. We've already read in verse 17 that there are three groups of 14 generations. In biblical writing, the number 14 is a double of the number 7, which is a number of completeness. One thing that threw me off a bit, though, in Matthew's writing was how he did his counting. Any way I looked at it, I always came up too short. It seemed like he was short somehow. The entire passage is filled with that repeated phrase, blank, the father of blank. But Matthew's counting does work if we take note that the first and third sections each have a line from the middle section that can be repeated in order to match up with his description of those 14 generations in verse 17. So the phrase, David was the father of Solomon, gets counted twice, as is the phrase, Jeconiah, the father of Salatiel. We can also take note of some of the individuals on this list. One commentator calls them sets of surprises. In biblical times, it was extremely rare for a woman to be named in a genealogy. But here in this very first section of Matthew, he includes the names of four women: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and the wife of Uriah. Not only are they women, but they are Gentile women. And some have engaged in unacceptable immoral behavior. Matthew doesn't seem to be worried about that. He includes women with sullied reputations and nationalities right in the middle of his list. Another surprise in Matthew's list are four alterations. Right in the middle of all of these names of kings are two non-king names, Asaph in verse 7 and Amos in verse 10. Unfortunately, Matthew didn't leave a memo as to why he did that. We wonder, was he referring to that psalm writer Asaph and the prophet Amos? And if he was, why did he do that? Maybe did he intend to name those kings and then he used a variation of the spelling of their names? Or was it totally unintentional on his part? We can only guess. If you know your Old Testament history and the kings of the Old Testament, it wouldn't take you very long to discover that there are names missing in two different places. In verse 8, Matthew leaves out three kings who came after Jehoram: Ahaziah, Joash, and Amaziah. And then in verse 11, after Josiah, he leaves out King Jehoiakim. In the third section, Matthew includes a fifth woman, Mary. We know she is a virgin, but we can only imagine the shame that she experienced as a pregnant young woman prior to being married. And she is the one who is identified as giving birth to Jesus. Joseph's role, on the other hand, was to give his legal adoptive connection to all the other people on this long list. Also in that third section, Matthew makes a fifth omission in his usual pattern by not giving a name to the 14th father, the father of Jesus. Now, I hope your heads aren't hurting too much with all of these details. It's good to be aware of them. It's quite fascinating. But now, having taken note of them, let's see if we can find some even greater picture that Matthew intends for us to see, that God intends us to see in this book of names, list of names. The beginnings of each of these three sections introduces a specific era in the life of God's people, Israel. Matthew puts Abraham at the beginning of the first section. He is the one, as we heard from Anne Michelle, that God chose to be the father of the people of Israel. Remember their covenant? I will be your God, and you will be my people. And the section concludes with King David, the recipient of another promise from God. There would always be a king from David's line on the throne in Israel forever. Throughout the time of the second section, it doesn't take long after David's death for his magnificent kingdom to begin to fall apart. God's disobedient people end up being taken prisoner to Babylon. And in that third section, we see that as God promised in Deuteronomy chapter 30, he brought them back to their land, where he began to renew their hope for the future. The thing is, none of this would have to be recorded in Matthew's list, except for one thing. Sin. Matthew is tracing for us what happens when God's people fail to obey him. This list of names reminds his original Jewish readers, who are very familiar with all of these names, by the way, of the struggles that they faced in trying to be faithful to God over the centuries. They knew he loved them, but he also held them accountable for their sins. How would they be able to survive his anger over that sin? Speaking of names and lists of names, check this out. Our name, Rochester Christian Reformed Church, is listed on the Christian Reformed Church of North America's denominational website. That web page that has Rochester's name at the head of it is full of names. There are some names that we know, our former pastor, Chris Flute, and our former clerk, Will Bike. But then there are more names on that webpage too. Hermanus Temple, Jay Reimersma, Johannes Ramin, A.J. Vandenheuvel, Lambertus Lambers, Herman Bell, John Heminga, Peter Eif, Alatinus Russ, Henry Triesenberg, Orrin Holtrup, Anthony Rosendahl, Engbert Ubels, Robert Evenhouse, Richard Friends, John Verbrugge, Robert DeVries, Paul Brink, James Ventolin, Russell Palsrock, Gentina Cornelison. Maybe you know some of them. I even found pictures of many of them in the council room. But it's possible that quite a few of us only know most of them as names on the webpage or names on the photograph, and probably not too much about many of them personally. Unfortunately, this congregation is not any different from any other Christian church. If we could have been bugs on the wall during council meetings, elders meetings, deacons meetings, committee meetings, we would have heard disagreements. We would have heard about the sinful behavior of some of the members. Church members are still members of the sinful human race. Church members need help to survive God's anger over our sin. Church members of Rochester CRC need to be rescued from God's anger. In what seems like a pretty mundane verse of our text, we start to get a picture, though, of what kind of hope God is working on. Look at verse 15 and 16 with me. Eliud, the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar, the father of Matan, and Matan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. Notice the father and son pairings. You can also see that printed on the back cover of your bulletin. Someone seems to be missing a father. Our text says that Jesus was born to Mary, but it says nothing about who his father is. Of course, you would be correct if you directed us to the very next section in chapter 1 in order to find out about that unlisted father of our text. It's the Holy Spirit, God, who is the father of Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew, by his very silence, by that blank spot in this listing, is filling his Jewish readers in on God's plan for rescuing his people from the eternal punishment of their sin. God's going to do it himself. God inserted himself right into this family line. And Joseph? Well, God used Joseph to give his legal adoptive connection between all the other people in this list and Jesus, the Savior of God's people from their sin. Matthew shows how God ties up all those loose ends of his plan just by composing a list. At first, it seems like there are a lot of loose ends here and missing pieces too. And maybe that might be upsetting to Matthew's readers until they realize that Matthew's goal was not to be an absolute precise historian. Matthew's goal was to show where Jesus came from David's line, in keeping with that promise to David. Matthew's goal was to show that God was part of that plan. It is a perfect and complete plan. Matthew symbolized God's perfect plan with those lists of sevens and 14s. Can God work out his plan with people who are not Israelites? Matthew shows us that of course he can, by including those Gentile women in his list. God is also completely able to work out his plan despite the sinful and immoral behavior of some, if not all, of these people on the list. God's plan to provide a Savior for his people has been in the works since the very beginning of time, creating human beings with the choice to obey God or follow their own desires, pronouncing the death sentence, offering a perfect someone to take the blame and God's anger, working out all the details over the long course of history, That's what we call the salvation plan of a sovereign God who rules over his creation. Behind what seems at first to be a simple little list of names is a master plan to save God's people from their sin. Many of you know what a generator is. The dictionary defines a generator as something that produces something. Matthew's list of names shows us that God is the generator of his amazing salvation plan. Many times, Matthew uses Greek words that have the letters G-E-N in them, the root that we get our word generate from. An account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah. Literally, verse 1 begins like this. The book of the Genesis. In Matthew's mind, the deepest beginning did not happen at creation with the birth of the world, but it began with the birth or generation of the Savior of the world. All of the fathers produced or generated a son. And God produced or generated three sets of 14 generations. God is everywhere in this text, generating his plan. He is absolutely in charge, our sovereign God. So now what do you think of Matthew's list of names? One commentator calls it a work of art. Another writes, Matthew shows the believer that when you add up the meaning of history, the bottom line is Jesus Christ, Son of David. Rochester CRC has its lists of names too. We see them on the CRC website. We can find more names in the church directory. Everyone in this room has a name. When we think about all these names on our list, what difference does it make? Based on what we saw in Matthew's list, the names that are a part of Rochester CRC represent another part of God's big plan to save his people. God is using us to bring about the coming of his future kingdom here in Rochester and around the world. God is using us to make a difference. Now that Jesus has come, died, rose, and ascended to heaven, we have a slightly different focus than all those people on Matthew's list. Sometimes that means sharing the wonderful news about the forgiveness that we have because of what Jesus has done for us. Sometimes that means giving time, giving money, praying, listening, leading, caring, and the list goes on and on. Maybe some of the names on our lists remind us of people that don't seem like such wonderful people. What about them? Well, just like some of the names on Matthew's list, our sovereign God works through them and with them and in spite of them as well. And don't forget that each one of us has our own shortcomings that God is working around as well. God has been working through many people to bring about his big plan to make all things new again. That plan began with a beautiful creation, was messed up by us and our sin, brought to redemption by Jesus Christ, and is on its way to renewal when Jesus comes again. Each of our names appears somewhere in this list that we call Rochester CRC. Maybe you wonder, how to celebrate your name being part of that list. A great way is to take note of how God is using each one of you in his plan. Do you need to fully acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior that you need? Does something in your life need to be confessed or corrected? Has God been prompting you to stretch into something a little bit more in your life in terms of your relationship with him? Does it seem like he's calling you to make a change and to serve him in some new way? Ultimately, the best way is to celebrate the way that God has been using each one of you in this place to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ in your very own unique and special way. We make that proclamation every time we gather around the table. This morning, when we ate the bread and drank the cup, we made the proclamation that Jesus is Lord. We at Rochester CRC have been making that proclamation for 139 years. Let's commit to being faithful people on God's list of names by proclaiming that Jesus is Lord on into the future ministry of this congregation as well. As we learned from Matthew's list, God was the generating power in the lives of each of the people who were named on that list. Matthew showed us that God was in charge of his Jesus plan, his solution for our sin. And God will continue to be the generator of his plan until the day that Jesus comes again, when every Christian, the name we all share on God's list of names, will claim the very best name, the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for calling us to be your children. We give you thanks for calling us in our baptism to be marked with the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We give you thanks for allowing us to be identified with Jesus Christ by the name of Christian. Help us to remember that you, O God, are the generating power in our lives, as you have been since the very beginning of time, generating through your Spirit the earthly life of your Son, Jesus. Give us hope as we look forward to the time when you will complete your kingdom plan, when Jesus our Savior comes again. In his name we pray. Amen.